Welcome to the Craig T. Owens audio blog, with Craig's blog posts in audio format to go. Craig's new book, When Sheep Bite, is available now at CraigTOwens.com.
Don't let your gratitude get hijacked. You don't have to let negative circumstances hijack your gratitude, but you can follow a repeated example in the scriptures that will help you remain thankful. This is part two in our series called Be Thankful. Check out the show notes if you would like to watch the video version of this sermon.
Last week, I shared with you that I was a little surprised at how much medical science and scientists had come up with and appreciated the benefits of the very tangible benefits of gratitude. And the reason why that's a little surprising to me is because scientists tend to focus on the tangible stuff. You know, okay, this is something we can touch. You could put a blood pressure cuff on and you can tangibly measure somebody's blood pressure. But how do you hook something up and measure their level of gratitude? It's an intangible thing. And yet, that intangible gratitude, like we talked about last week, actually shows up in a tangible measurement of somebody's lower blood pressure because they're a grateful person. And I think we do a disservice if we try to just think about tangible things or just focus on the intangible things. In fact, that was one of the issues that in the letters of the New Testament that they had to start addressing. There were some people that were just saying, oh, all that matters is just the spirit world. It doesn't really matter what's happening in the natural world or vice versa. And the epistle writers had to address that and say, no, there is an intangible world that has tangible results, and we need to be checking out both areas. We need to make sure that we are attentive to both of those areas. Well, I think the same thing comes into play with our gratitude. We talked last week, and it's not a surprise, that for a lot of people, it is very natural to gravitate towards the negative. It's become so easy to just slip into the grumbling and complaining of the people that are around you. They're all dumping on something. They're all sharing their grievance. And then you just kind of, yeah, and you just real quickly, all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm just, you know, right there with them on this. And we have to be very attentive to what might be causing that. Why am I slipping into that area? Well, I think one of the clues that we're going to discover about this is the way that God created us. He created us as a tangible, living being. We've got a physical body, but he also breathed into us a soul, something that he did differently for us than he did for the animal world. So it says in Genesis chapter 2 that the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Some translations, it's very accurate, very appropriate here to say, became a living soul. I like the way that C.S. Lewis said it. He said, you don't have a soul. You are a soul, and you have a body. God created the body to carry around the soul, the part that is going to be with him forever and ever. And we need to pay attention to this because the soul is comprised of these different attributes in our bodies, in our lives, that we need to pay attention to. Our soul has our mind, our ability to think things through, to imagine, to say, well, okay, if things are going like this, how can I improve that trajectory? Or things are going like this, and how can I reverse that? How can I do something different? I have the ability to think that through, not just react to stimuli the way that animals do, but to sit down and truly process. That's a God-given feature that we have as humans. We have our mind. We also have our emotions. We don't want to deny the emotions that we see in the Bible. God expresses emotions. We have those emotions too. We feel those things around us. But then we also have a will. God gave us the ability to make a decision and follow through on that, regardless of maybe what our body or our emotions might be feeling at a moment, to say, this is the commitment I made, this is what I've decided, and this is what I'm going to do. Now, just like we said, we run into trouble if we say, well, let's just focus on, like a scientist, let's just focus on the tangible. Don't worry about the intangible. That's kind of hocus pocus stuff. we run into trouble if we do that. But it's the same thing in our soul. If we allow our mind, our emotions, or our will to remain dormant, underdeveloped, that's not healthy. But neither is it healthy if one of those rises to the forefront and sort of bullies the other ones and says, I'm taking over here. Because we've seen that before, right? We've seen people that if their mind comes to the forefront and they start thinking about it and they go, you know, as I think about it, this other stuff just seems a little silly, and their mind is the, or their emotions or whatever, it comes to the forefront. Now, let me show you where we see some of this coming about. We looked at this verse last week where the Israelites, now they have just seen God move. These 10 signs or 10 plagues in Egypt where God has shown his power that can't be mimicked or replicated by anything else. He has clearly made himself known as the one and only Jehovah God. And so Pharaoh allows them to leave. And it says that our ancestors were in Egypt and they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. The very first place that they went, they came out of Egypt. They hadn't gone very far. They get to the Red Sea, and they're no longer thinking about what God did. All of a sudden, they just give in to the emotion of the moment. He said, that's what the psalmist says. They did not remember. They forgot. They gave no thought to the miracles. They didn't think about it. And so now their emotions hijack the moment. Well, what about our minds? Now, I want you to notice here when we're talking about this, we said that they gave no thought. They did not remember. Well, are they praising God at that time or are they grumbling about their situation? We read the verses around there, right? They start, why'd you bring us out here? We could have just died back there in Egypt. You know what? And so they give in to fear. They give in to anger. Okay, those emotions start coming up. Well, okay, so I'm going to just think everything through. I'll just rely solely on my mind. Well, Paul said this in Romans. He said, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. There's that gratitude part again. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. So we can begin to think thoughts without God in them, without being thankful for what God has done. They wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks that he's God. And then when we start doing that with our minds, we go, oh, we know how this works. When this happens, God, you have to do this. We know exactly how it works. We can put you in this nice, neat little box, and we know exactly how everything fits in this box because we have thought it through. We've thought it all out. I don't need to listen to my emotions. I don't need to use my will for anything. I got it all figured out here, and it bullies the other part. But do you see how gratitude fits into both of those parts? Well, look at this one too. If we just use our willpower, I mentioned this in passing last week. This is really what led Lucifer to become Satan. Look at his will here. You said in your heart, he's speaking to Lucifer, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will do this. Okay? When our willpower comes to the forefront, when it bullies everything else, we tend to become very selfish. We become very self-focused. And we become where everything revolves around. So we need to pay attention to all of those parts. We need to see what is our mind thinking, what are our emotions feeling, and what have we decided to do with our wills? What are we directing that towards? Towards us, I will, or towards God. And gratitude plays a role in every single one of those parts because we see there's no longer a thankfulness for what God has done. Remember, Satan used this exact same temptation than when he talked to Adam and Eve. He didn't say, look at all the great stuff that God gave you. He said, look at this one tree that he told you not to touch. How dare he do that? you deserve to have this tree. And they began to focus on the one thing that they didn't have instead of being grateful for all the things that they did have. So gratitude can begin to hide, or if we don't have the gratitude there, it can begin to hijack any one of those areas, our mind, our emotions, and our wills. Now, one of the books that we see this really stand out is in the book of the Psalms. This book has a lot of raw emotion in it. There's a lot of people that are just pouring out their hearts. And, you know, if you think about it, and there's some spots in here when some of these psalmists are writing that you, if you think about it for a second, you're like, boy, I can't imagine somebody saying that to God. But yet, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, here it is right here. And that's one of the things I love about the Bible, is it describes human nature as it really is. It doesn't give us some kind of pie in the sky. Like, there are times that you're going to be really ticked off. Some of these guys were really ticked off. We can Christianize it and say, I was grieved in my spirit, but it doesn't really fit the same way as being ticked off, does it? But look at, I'm just going to pull out a couple of Psalms. Look at Psalm chapter 7. I like verse 17. And these Psalms I went to because these are the ones that you're going to be able to see the mind, the will, and the emotions in here. So look at verse number 17. Here's David speaking. I will, here's my willpower, give thanks to the Lord. I'm going to express my gratitude. I'm going to feel the gratitude for what he has done. And now notice this next word. It says because. Well, when we have a because, that means I've thought about something and come to a conclusion. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I've looked at his righteousness. And then he says, and I'm going to sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. I'm going to think this through. I'm going to make sure that my emotions are expressed properly. And my will is telling me, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to sing. I'm going to make sure I express this. We go a couple chapters over. Psalm chapter 9. The introduction to this psalm tells us that David writes this thing, and he says, David makes the notation, to the tune of the death of the son. I'm going to guess that this song probably was not a toe-tapping, happy song. Okay, the death of the son. It's sung in minor keys. It's okay. So something's going on here that's really gripping David's heart. But notice here, and I left this verse up here for, look at, we see all the times that Lucifer, I will, I will, I will. You're going to see the same thing here with David. But no, notice here, I will do something for myself. But look what David says here. I will, even in this dark place, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Now listen, friends, even though it doesn't have the word in there, like I thought about this, it's really implied there. He's in a dark place. I'm going to sing a song, and the tune is to the death of the son. This is not the time that it's really easy to come up with things to be grateful for, because maybe it's when his son actually died. I don't know. We don't know what's happening. Okay? But he says, despite this, God, you are still worthy to be praised. I'm not going to let my emotions pull me down and hijack my praise, my gratitude to you. But I will. Four times he says it. I'm going to make sure that I praise you. Well, I want us to really camp out for a few minutes on Psalm 92, because this one, you'll see it. It really stands out here starkly. It is good. There's a conclusion. I've thought about it. It is good to praise the Lord and to make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds. That four is a conclusion statement again. I've looked at your deeds. You make me glad. And so I sing for joy at the works of your hands. We just sang that in a song a couple of minutes ago. How great are your works, O Lord. How profound your thoughts. He's really saying, I want to think your thoughts after you. Now look at the contrast. The senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand. The senseless man, the fool, hasn't thought this through. They're so like tunnel visioned on the moment. Look what they're thinking. That though the wicked spring up like grass, oh, the wicked are all around me. They haven't thought about this. They haven't seen the big picture here. That though they spring up and they flourish, they're going to be forever destroyed. God gets the last word. The senseless, foolish person is going, oh, look what's right in my face right now. How am I ever going to get out of this? This is the worst situation ever. I'm way down here at the bottom of this pit. How's God going to do this? Okay. It's hard to give praise in that spot. But he says, they haven't thought this through. But you, O Lord, verse number 8, are exalted forever. Contrast that. The evil are forever destroyed. Verse number 7, verse 8, you are forever exalted. Let's get this perspective. For surely your enemies, O Lord, surely your enemies will perish, and all evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured upon me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my many wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. This psalm, I think, might have been in the mind of Paul and Silas. They're traveling through Philippi. They're speaking to people there. They're telling about the good news of Jesus, and people are turning their lives to Jesus. And there's a tipping point when there's a young girl who is demonically possessed, and people are making money off of that. They're selling her as a fortune teller. And Paul looks at her and says, I'm tired of this. I want this girl to be free. And he prays, the demon is cast out. And the men who had owned her realized that the gravy train just left. They don't have money anymore. How sad that they would rather have a girl kept in bondage so that they could make money than this girl could be set free. But their response is quite violent. They stir up a crowd that comes after Paul and Silas. No evidence is presented. There's no trial. There's no chance for Paul and Silas to share their side of the story. Look at verse number 22. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Now, David in Psalm 9 wrote that song to the tune of the death of the son. I think if Paul and Silas right now were going to sing a song, it's got minor notes to it. Doesn't feel like this is a really good time to be praising God. In fact, what might be even more easy for us to come right to the top of our mind is like, I don't get this. Wait a minute. I'm doing what you sent me to do. I'm telling people about you, Jesus. Why didn't you protect me from this? What's going on here? That'd be really easy to do that. Upon receiving such orders, the jailer put them in the inner cell, fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. So I think about Psalm 92. Hey, regardless of what's going on, I'm not going to focus on the wicked that are right here. It seems like they've controlled everything. I mean, there was just this sham trial. It said it was the magistrates that ordered the punishment and the imprisonment. The judges, we didn't even get a chance to make a defense. How are we ever going to get out of this? What's our recourse here? If we just look at that, our emotions could completely hijack our gratitude, and we're down in the mully grubs. Right? But they said, wait a minute, that's the senseless man. That's the fool that just looks at the wickedness of the moment. We're going to lift our eyes up higher than that. we're going to even engage our willpower. We're going to think about all that God has done. And listen, I think Paul and Silas might have said, even if God did absolutely nothing else for us, he sent his son to die, to set us free from the eternal punishment. He doesn't have to do anything else for us, and we can still praise him for all of eternity because we're going to be in his presence for all of eternity. But they said, still, we're going to pray and we're going to sing hymns to God. And then I love what happens here. It says the other prisoners were listening to them. You remember we looked at this verse last week? So they're in a jail in Philippi. We looked at this verse last week that Paul wrote back to that church at Philippi, and he said, do everything without grumbling or complaining so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. That's exactly what is happening here. When these people, the other inmates that are in prison, when they look at Paul and Silas and say, well, these guys really didn't do anything wrong, and they're locked up in here, and they're praising God, it got their attention. It got the attention of the jailer, too. But remember in Psalm 92, the psalmist said, all those enemies are going to be defeated. I've already seen this. I've heard about the rout against my enemy. Think about this. This prison was more than likely in the lower level of the jailer's home. It's down in the basement. God sends such a strategic earthquake. It's just strong enough to break their bonds and their shackles, but not so strong that it brings the house down on top of them. Right? It's a miraculously, perfectly timed, measured earthquake. And the jailer knew that. And he said, and you guys didn't run away. You stayed right here. The jailer ends up, he and his whole family, give their life to Jesus as well. I wouldn't be surprised if some of these inmates that were in there later on, if maybe they gave their heart to Jesus as well. Because Philippi was Paul loved this church. He kept writing, you know, he wrote to them and said, I think about you guys, and I'm so overflowing with gratitude every time I think about the church at Philippi. Some of the members of that church in Philippi very well could have been right here in this jail. They were listening. This ability to praise God, not allow the circumstances to hijack their gratitude. And even if their emotions weren't quite there yet, they still said, but you know what? If we think about all that God has done, there is still so much to give him praise for. We will do this. We will. Just like David said, I will give praise. I will give you thanks. I will lift your name up. I will exalt you because you are worthy to receive all of that. And so this is what we have to do as well. Anytime that we feel the grumbling start or the complaining, or we're like, why am I joining with this group that's doing this? I'm going to give you three words. You need to talk to yourself. Amen. Don't just listen to yourself. Okay. I think when we just listen to our negative thoughts, we kind of, yeah, it is bad. And we pile on with that. But I think when we need to talk back, let me show you where I get the scripture for this. In Psalm 42, the psalmist, and this is a worship leader. Okay? This is not just somebody sitting in the pew at the church. This is somebody in the worship team up front. As the deer pants for streams of water, my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. But he's not getting it because he asks, when can I go and meet with God? I don't have this living water. What I have right now, verse number 3, is my tears have been my food day and night. And people around me, men all say to me all day long, yeah, where's your God? Yeah, you claim to be a Christian. You claim to follow God. Look at how bad you've got it. You've been eating nothing but tears. What's so special about you? But he says, wait a minute. I'm going to think about something here. These things I remember even as I pour out my soul, even as I'm expressing how much I'm longing to get back to this place, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. I remember when I used to lead worship. I remember that. And now here he talks to himself. wait a minute. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Can you think about all that God has done for you? Can you think about who He is? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will. There's the willpower. I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. It's not a denying of the situation. My soul is downcast within me, but therefore, I will complain. That's natural, right? My soul is downcast, therefore I will complain. That's natural. But therefore my soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. I'm going to talk back to these thoughts. He repeats it again in this same chapter 42 and then chapter 43. That whole exchange gets repeated again. Wait a minute. Soul, why are you downcast? Why are you allowing these negative emotions, this negative situation to hijack your gratitude? Remember, think about it, recall all that God has done, and then even in that situation, choose to give Him praise. Choose to be grateful for all He's done. Choose to allow gratitude and thankfulness to pour from your lips. And I think that it's very telling. Like I said, it's twice in chapter 42 and then again in chapter 43. Because you're probably going to have to do it again and again and again based on your circumstances. You might say, I have praised God, and then I get up the next day and man, these circumstances are still here. Tears are still my food. I still would like to be where I was before, but I'm not there. But hold on a second. Why are you downcast, my soul? Think about it. Remember what God has done and put your hope in Him. Praise Him. So this is, I want to highlight, we talked about two of these things last week, but I just want to highlight again. You need to write down your gratitude. Yes. Write down your gratitude. Now, here's a suggestion I'm going to give you. Write your gratitude down at the end of the day. Here's why I would say that to you. Is because God has designed our bodies with this really cool gatekeeper. Right now, you've got your five senses are sending you a whole bunch of things. But not all of them are getting through to your brain. Your brain's not paying attention to all of them. Okay? Like, until I say this, you don't realize all the clothes that are touching your body. Your brain filters that out. Okay? You put the clothes on, it's still touching your skin, but your skin says that sense that's coming up here, there's a part, it's about the size of the tip of your thumb, it's called the reticular activating system. It sits right at the base of your brain. It's the gatekeeper. It tells you what needs to come into your brain. Here's what your RAS does for you. A little while ago, Betsy and I were going to get new shingles on our house. And the roofer comes out and says, what style do you want? What color do you want? I don't know. I've never even really looked at my roof. It doesn't matter to me. All of a sudden, we're driving around. We're like, hey, look at their roof. That's kind of a cool color. Oh, look at that one. That's really ugly. We don't want that color. We never saw that before. But now that we tell our reticular activating system, hey, we're looking for shingles, that signal is getting through. We've lived in the same house for 15 years. I never paid attention to my neighbor's roofs before. If you were to ask me what color is your neighbor that you look at out your front window every day for 15 years, what color is their roof? I don't know. I can tell you now because all of a sudden I started looking. Okay? If you tell your reticular activating system, you tell your brain, at the end of the day, I have to write down something that I'm grateful for today. All day long, those messages are going to get through. And I bet you're going to have more than one thing to write down by the end of the day because you're going to see things all the time. You're like, oh man, that could have gone badly this way. I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful for all of those messages will be coming through. So write down your gratitude. Keep a gratitude journal. But then the second thing that you need to do is talk about your gratitude. Other people need to hear it. Just like Paul and Silas were singing, and the other prisoners are listening. And the jailer upstairs and his family are listening. When you talk about your gratitude, other people are listening, especially like in Psalm 42 and 43, when day and night tears have been my food and men are around me saying, where's your God? Did God let you down on this? No, he's still worthy to be praised. He still has done this. He still has blessed me here. I'm still grateful for this. I'm still thankful for this. How can you be grateful in this setting, in this situation? So write it down and then talk about it. You're going to be a blessing to other people. You don't know how other people, like a jailer, a fellow prisoner around you, a coworker, a family member, a next-door neighbor, that they are noticing that you are choosing to give thanks. So don't let the moment hijack something in your gratitude. Even if your emotions don't feel like it, engage your mind to think about it. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Engage your will to say, I'm going to praise God. And your emotions will eventually follow. They can't help because the other two are going along. The emotions eventually are going to catch up as they go along. Don't let any part of that hijack. Don't let them bully the other parts. But if we focus on gratitude, write it down, talk it out. It's going to help you. It's going to help people around you as well. Keep a gratitude journal. It's powerful. Powerful tool for us. Lord, thank you for the ways that you have blessed us. You've showered us with your blessings. We sing that song, Showers of Blessing. And that's what you do. You just saturate us. And we want to become more aware of those blessings. We don't want to just take it for granted. We don't want it to just go by and we haven't even noticed it. We want to be on high alert to spot all of those places where you are blessing, where you are providing, where you are showing your favor. You've done so much for us that we can't help but be grateful people. So help us to learn how to better capture those moments and to express those moments, not only in praise and gratitude to you, but to benefit other people that are around us as well, that don't know what it is to have a relationship with you. They don't see the blessings. They chalk things up to just a lucky break or an unlucky break. They don't see a God that is so good and every good and perfect gift coming from him. So Lord, let our testimony be a worship of you, or our thanks be a worship to you, and be a testimony to others around us that would draw people to you as well. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Craig's new book, When Sheep Bite, is available now. To order, go to craigtowens.com.